Hello, PMP. Welcome to Office Hours from sunny Ottawa, Tennessee. I am visiting my brother this weekend, and that's why you see the beautiful room behind me. It's a little bit different than where you usually see me. And it is so sunny and warm here. It's just such a beautiful change from the polar vortex a lot of us have seen lately. So we are in office hours, which means I will, if you want to raise your hand, I will call on you. And if you want to hit the Q&A, you can ask questions there as well. I will fit them in as I'm able, depending on how many people we have who want to raise their hand for coaching. You guys can also talk to each other in the chat. I am not likely to check that much, though. So if you want to talk to me, either raise your hand or I'm getting my act together here. Either raise your hand or hit the Q&A. All right. So let's see who we have first here today. Jennifer, you are up. Can you guys make sure you guys can hear me okay, too? Tell me if you can't hear me anyway. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. So what's up with you today?
Okay, so I had a discovery yesterday at work, and I feel really heavy, and I'm trying to figure out how to deal with it. I know that I'm a people pleaser by nature, I've been, but I've been at my job almost 19 years. I do the office manager, and a little over a year ago, we fired someone that was in charge of the other half of the company. And I have been taking on that responsibility as well. And everything's going really good. It's exciting. I'm having fun in it, feeling more confident and all of that. But yesterday, talking to the owner, I just broke down and started crying, which I'm not a crier. So that was scary, number one. I just realized how much I am putting pressure on myself to run the whole company and not make any mistakes and not let anything bad happen, and feeling the weight of if our customers order something and they don't order it in time, that's something I need to fix. And that's a weight and problem that is on me, which it's not, it's on the customer, is what, you know, we discussed yesterday. But so, you know, it hit me as a shock how much pressure I'm putting on myself there. And, you know, and then realizing I do it so much in my personal life, which I kind of already knew, but I'm trying to figure out how to sort through changing that mindset, changing those habits, and just let it go. And I don't know why I still feel really heavy just talking about it right now.
So why do you think it feels heavy?
I don't know. I mentioned to my accountability partner this morning I was going to get on the call, and I said, I had a breakdown yesterday, and she said, it sounds like a breakthrough. And I'm like, you're right. It does sound like a breakthrough and a good thing, because I'm feeling it. I guess it just feels heavy just because of the realization, maybe, and trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Well, describe heavy to me.
Tightness in my chest. Okay. Like, my heart just kind of feels like it's like right now it's exploding. It's beating really fast. Tears, emotion.
Okay. So heavy probably describes the physical sensations. What is the emotion that goes with the heaviness?
I want it to be relief and freedom.
What is it? You want to work toward relief, but what is it now?
Scared.
Why is it? Why are you scared?
To let go.
To let go?
Because I don't know what that looks like and what that means. If I let go of that, how do I balance doing a good job but not, you know, taking that, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm still responsible for that stuff, but yet I'm not, and I'm scared. I don't know how to let go of that.
Okay. So you have realized that you've taken on, you have finally realized that it's over time you have taken on more than what you're actually responsible for. You've taken on more responsibility because you're trying to please others and trying to make sure everything is okay. Yes. So the realization of that actually settled in, and you actually for the first time felt the pressure of that situation and the responsibility of what you've created over the past 19 years. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. And all that pressure and responsibility feels very heavy in your body. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is really interesting, because when you first said heavy, heavy is a very physical feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat, because you described very clearly what your body was feeling, but we had to work a little bit to figure out what the brain emotion was. So you have the physical feeling. It's just like hunger. You have physical hunger and you have emotional hunger. Well, you've described a physical feeling versus an emotional feeling, and how a feeling in your mind actually feels in your body. That's very interesting. So yeah. I don't know. We do a lot of work at camp on actually feeling your feelings. And I think that's what happened to you yesterday. Uh-huh. You had just a whole day worth of, or a breakthrough, like your friend said, where you actually felt your feeling in your body, and it felt very heavy. So, okay. So we've identified what you were feeling, and it was, what did you say? Pressured?
Mm-hmm. Responsibility.
Okay. So what thought leads you to those feelings? What's the thought?
I'm in charge of this. I have to make sure everything's okay.
I have to make sure everything's okay. Mm-hmm. That's the thought.
Okay.
I have to do it all. I have to make sure it's all okay. Is that thought true?
No, I feel like it is, but it's not. I can only do what I can do.
Okay. Why is that thought not true?
Because I can't. I don't have control over everything, and I can't make it okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So we've identified the thought and the feeling now. Mm-hmm. And the action, if we could go into, the thought was, I have to make sure everything's okay. The feeling is pressured. Mm-hmm. The actions are, you scurry around cleaning up everybody else's mistakes, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you try, and you take on the responsibility of the world in order to try and make sure it's all done, right?
Yes.
Okay. None of that serves you, because you just said you have control over a portion of this, and it's the portion that you're responsible for. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So when you hear the thought, I have to make sure everything is okay, and you say, no, wait, that's not exactly true. What is the true thought? What is the truth? What can you change it to that's truth, that provides a little bit of relief for you?
Instead of, I have to make everything okay. I have to look at all the facts and just do the best I can with the situation.
Yeah. Does that bring relief?
A little bit. It feels a little bit less pressure, mm-hmm, when I say that.
Or maybe there is one part of this that I can make sure is just fine. The rest is up to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to take responsibility for your part in the process, and allows you to give the responsibility to someone else to do their own work.
Right. Yeah. And I'm thinking too, I need to just slow down and take it all in instead of being in a rush to try and fix it.
Gives you time to evaluate what, mm-hmm, you actually can do to help the situation too.
Yes. Yeah. Pause and think it through a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I guess part of the heavy feeling is just because I'm starting to really feel again and yeah, acknowledge feelings. And so that freaks me out a little bit. It's like, whoa, what is that? Where did that come from? I don't know that.
That's the beautiful thing about this whole situation is that you actually felt that feeling rather than pushing through and not feeling the feeling. And you could have eaten, you could have overworked, you could have, you know, just instead of actually dealing with the situation from a real conscious, intentional perspective, you could have pushed through and blasted through and gotten mad. And, you know, I don't know what happens in a situation like that. I don't know what you usually do. But for me, I mean, I'd be pulling out my manuals for people going, she didn't do this. And now I have to do that. And that's what happens with people pleasers. We want to make sure everything's okay on the one end, but then we get kind of mad when people don't hold up their end of the deal. Okay. So sure, I'm going to sacrifice myself and sacrifice my well-being so that everything is okay. But that doesn't really feel good in the long run. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. No, it doesn't. It adds up and bites me. Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, Corinne says people pleasers are the biggest liars. And when she first told me that, I kind of got my hackles up because, you know, I'm sort of, I tend toward people pleasing myself. And I thought, no, wait a minute. I'm a nice person. I do this for them. And she said, yeah. And on the back end, you're sitting there bitching saying, do you know they didn't do da 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 and I had to do it.
Right.
I thought, oh, she's probably right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So if you can clean that up and give the responsibility back to them to do their work. Yeah. And not hold judgment, you know, not hold them in judgment. If you have to come in and fill in some gaps, then all of a sudden the relief is there. You know, it doesn't feel so heavy and pressured and responsible. And what's a word I used recently? Oh gosh, urgent.
Mm.
Urgent. I felt a sense of urgency. She's like, why? Just do the work. I was like, yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
When you can take all that off, then relief is a byproduct. You know, it's confidence, it's, you know, accomplishment, and relief is a byproduct.
Right. And that's what I want to feel, mm-hmm. is confident and accomplished. And I just feel like I'm chasing my tail around most of the time, trying to catch up and fix everybody else's.
Right. And when you're fixing everybody else's stuff, you're getting mad because they didn't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And then silly take the responsibility on myself. And that just doesn't, it's not suiting anyone or helping anyone.
Right. Nope. Plus, they don't learn what they haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
What they learn is, Jennifer's going to come back and clean it up for me so I don't have to worry about it.
Yes. True. And then punish myself because of that. So.
Right.
Okay. Breathe. Okay.
Does that help?
It really does. It really does. Yeah. So. And it gives me good, because I was just like, I don't even know where to start in unleashing this out of my head and journaling about it or whatever, because I didn't know where to start. And this gives me a good starting point to start working and changing my thought and feelings around it. So,
yeah, I think that for me, what I would do, if there's a particular process, you know, that you can outline, take it from beginning to end. And then fill in the parts that you are actually responsible to, and then look at back at the parts that you're picking up because someone else hasn't done. And then you can get a really clear picture of those things that that you should be taking responsibility for, and those things that you can help with, and those things that, you know, are in that area of, I'll do it, but I'm pissed off about it, you know, and figure out what to do with those.
Okay. Very good. Yes, that helps so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Who is next? Heidi? You're up. Heidi, turn your video on, girl. There you are.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am good. I'm getting on a call because, of course, Jen Saya told me I needed to. Because, you know, I always think, what's the point of doing a call? I know what I need to do. I'm just not doing it. So that in and of itself is why I needed the call, is because I'm really frustrated right now. Obviously, I've been in the tribe for a couple years. I know what I need to do. I've had great success, but lately I just can't seem to get my, like, I'm, consistency has always been something that I've worked on. And lately, like, I've been doing my plans every day. I've been doing really well with that, but I keep grab assing. I keep overeating. And it's one of those things where in the moment, obviously I know better, but in the moment I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm at my two, stop, but I just do it anyway. It's like I'm not even allowing myself to sit in the discomfort and just choose to do something else. And it's frustrating the heck out of me because I can't seem to get my shit together. And I don't know why. Because again, I know what to do. I've been taught by the best. Y'all told me what I need to do. I know what I need to do. I just am not doing it. And it's frustrating me because I'm so close. Like, we all know, I've talked about this. I mean, I talk about this with everybody in the tribe all the time. I'm pretty comfortable where I am. I feel pretty good. But there are areas that I want to work on. I don't know how to turn off all my other notifications. I apologize. The areas that I want to work on, I'm not going to get there by grab-assing and overeating and all that stuff. I need some guidance, Shweti.
Well, you said, I don't know why.
I don't. I even TDL'd this morning. And you know how I am about that.
You TDL'd? What did the
TDL? I know.
Did the TDL tell you why?
No.
Okay.
But I probably should have went farther and I didn't. So you know, kids got up and I let myself, I'm sorry.
What do you want more? The extra food, the grab ass, or the improvement?
Well, the improvement, but in the moment.
Do you really?
I don't know. Maybe I am too comfortable where I am.
I don't know. Are you?
I'm pretty comfortable where I am. Like, and I hate, and I don't mean like, I don't think there's any improvement. No, I mean, yeah, we can all have improvement. I don't like the top of my thighs, but you know, with clothes on, they don't look that bad. So, you know, and my husband doesn't care what I look like naked. You know what I mean? Like, he's fine with me the way I am.
So
maybe I don't want it bad enough.
What, why do you think you feel comfortable where you are?
Because I look pretty good in clothes.
Okay. Because it
because my stomach's flat.
Because you let because lets you eat what you want to eat.
No, because I really don't think that. Because I do. Here's the funny thing. Like, I'm really good about, like, say I've done really well all day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm purposely choosing things that are smarter. You know, good, better, best, that kind of thing. But then I get bored. That's really, that's what screws me. If I get bored, that's when I start grabbing. And I'm not making horrible choices. Like, I don't always, and don't get me wrong. Sometimes, yes, I grab ass horrible things. But most of the time I'm grab assing things like cheese sticks and nuts and just too much. Even my son the other day, he was eating, I buy those big tubs of grapes from Costco, and my 8-year-old will literally eat the entire thing by himself. And he's like, I don't want to get fat. And I'm like, okay, well, you're not going to get, grapes aren't going to make you fat. And he said, but you even told me you can overeat healthy food. And I'm like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So like, okay. At least you're listening. So he is listening.
I think it's uncomfortable where I am. I think that's your, that's the thought. I think that's the thought that's blocking you.
Am I not uncomfortable enough with the things that I'm uncomfortable with? Does that make sense?
I think you justified it saying I'm comfortable where I am. And I want you to tell me if that's really the truth. Is that 100%
right now? No.
Then why do you say I could still make improvements?
Yeah. Cause right now, no, I'm not totally comfortable where I am. Cause I don't like the way my thighs look. Right. And I have to wear a swimsuit in 2 weeks.
But you're telling yourself you are. In the moment, okay. You're saying, it's okay. I'm good where I am.
So how do I change that?
you pull the BS light on it. You're like, wait a minute, there's that thought. And that thought is bullshit because I got to put a bathing suit on in 2 weeks and I don't really care about the way my thighs look. I'd like to trim them down a little bit. You talk back. Girl, I know you can talk back.
Well, I was going to say, you think I would be good at calling BS on myself, you know? shit. I think I get complacent. Mm-hmm. I think I get complacent and I don't want to try that hard. I get tired. I get complacent. Here comes my son. I get tired. I get complacent and I don't want to try that hard. And then I'm just like, well, it doesn't look that bad. Mm-hmm. You know?
So you have to decide if that's the truth. That's what I think.
Sorry. That's okay. I'm on a phone call right now. Do you see that? Can you say hi to Kathy?
Hi.
Hi.
Can I talk to you in just a couple minutes?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. You're okay. So can I? He's crying. He hurt his finger. Okay. So I need to call BS on myself. Walk me through this, Shwetty, because clearly I'm not doing it very well.
Okay. So you're standing in the kitchen.
Okay.
And you're like, there's some nuts. I think I'll have some nuts. It's okay. I'm pretty comfortable where I am. Right? Is that what
you mean? There's not even the dialogue, to be honest.
There is. It just flies by pretty fast.
Okay. So maybe I'm just not recognizing it. Yeah. I see him and then I just kind of look at him and then I look away and then I look at him again and then I grab him.
Mm-hmm. And in that moment, there is some justification, some thought that goes through that's like, a little bit won't hurt. Or it's just nuts.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because apparently you can overeat healthy food, right?
You can. You know that too, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Is that a better fish? Okay. Absolutely. I'll be up there in just a minute, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You want your water? Sorry. All right. I'll be up there. Just give me a couple minutes. I love you.
Right. He just wants his mama.
He hit his finger. He's playing we have a VR and he hit his finger and he's been sobbing for 15 straight minutes. And I'm one of those like, shake it off. You're going to be fine. Like, calm down. Because, you know, I'm so nurturing. Anyway, I'm in the moment. I have the dialogue. And then what do?
You call BS on yourself. You say, no, wait, do I really want those nuts or do I really want trimmer thighs?
God, I really do want trimmer thighs.
Yeah. See, there you go. You're not really. You started the whole thing with, I'm comfortable where I am.
Oh, my God. I just had this realization slap me. I have all. Oh, my God. Okay. All of my life, I have been a better Indian than I am chief. Does that make sense? Like, I don't really want to be a leader. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not one who like my husband is one of those people that he started his own business and he strived to be amazing. And you know what I mean? He wanted to build it and do all these great things. And I'm fantastic at being the supporting player in that. I am great. I will do whatever you need me to do. I will cheer you on. I will do all that. But I'm not the one that has big dreams. And when you said that, it just hit me that I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm almost there, but I'm not pushing myself to dream because I'm fine.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
That kind of just slapped me in the face.
Am I brilliant? Just say it.
You know, Shwetty, I knew when Jen told me today, she's like, Kathy has coaching hours. I'm all, oh, okay. I can do that.
You're in Queen's Club, right?
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, I don't remember when it was, maybe September or October, the masterclass was on complacency. What you do when you
take... How did I miss that?
I don't know. But if you are in Queen's Club, you should go back and listen to that. Because it's me too.
I will. And you know how much I love you.
That's right. But
you're my favorite. Not because Corinne doesn't deserve it, but because you're so freaking polar opposite of me. And you still seem to like me anyway. So
that's what makes us beautiful, Heidi.
Exactly. I should go back. I will go back and listen. I was so excited for this self-accountability course.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was printing that shit out at 6 a.m. this morning when I saw that it was in there. Cause I was like, this is exactly what I need because I feel like I am. I'm like this. We all know. I think I'm awesome. Okay. I say that all the time. And I don't mean that in a rude way. Like I have embraced the good things about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of that because it's hard for a lot of us to do that. You know what I mean? And
yes.
We also know, I don't think I'm perfect by any stretch, but I'm a cool person. Okay. I love things about myself, but I'm so close with my body. Like I'm so close and I need to just push myself to that next level, you know, because I want to feel like a rock star always.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm a rock star with a lowercase R right now.
I wish I could grab some of your self-worth and just sprinkle fairy dust on me. Maybe that's...
How do you not think that you're fantastic? You're fucking Kathy fucking Hartman.
Wow, I have a new middle name.
I'm saying, anytime you start to feel bad, all you got to do is go, I am Kathy fucking Hartman. And I say it to yourself, sweetie, because I know you don't want to say it out loud. You can whisper it in your own head, but you say that, I guarantee all of a sudden you'll be like, well, I am, aren't I?
You crack me up.
I'm serious. I made myself confident because my husband was not going to give it to me. And I needed it. I needed to feel special. And so I just made it happen. But you're Kathy fucking Hartman. You're pretty spectacular.
I am pretty spectacular. You're right.
Yeah, you are. God, I can't wait till April. Sorry.
All right.
This has helped me a lot.
Huh?
This has helped me a lot.
Good.
It has. I feel very energized. And I made my plan for today. We're having a birthday party for my son. And we're having pizza and cake. And I'm like, I'm putting that all on my plan because I want to be realistic because I don't want to grab ass cake later. Right. So,
right. On the plan it goes. That's right.
I feel good. Thank you.
You are very welcome. It's good to see you.
Yes, it's good to see you too. And I cannot wait to hug you 900 times in April.
I can't wait either.
I know. You know I will. I just stalk you around camp and run up behind you and hug you.
You know, you'll hug me 900 times in April because I'm spectacular.
Because you're Kathy fucking Hartman.
That's right.
Will you just, when we go to camp, will you just whisper that in my ear just once? I won't tell anybody.
Yes, you will.
I will. I'm sorry. I'll try to keep it to myself, but I won't be able to because you're Kathy fucking Hartman.
Right.
Okay. I'm done. Thank you very much.
See ya.
You too.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Oh, Heidi, you crack me up. Janet, you are next.
Hey, good morning, Kathy.
How are you?
Or actually, afternoon now.
That's right. It's afternoon where I am. I'm in Eastern time.
Yes, me too. I'm in Georgia.
I had to be very careful that I made the call at the right time since I'm visiting my brother in a different time zone.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm a newbie for January. I've been a PMP groupie since August.
Okay.
And I've really been working on my journaling. I feel like I've been able to get the water down, the sleep. Figuring out my 2-2, I'm getting better at that. I was struggling about my journaling, but I've been consistent since January 1st. I've written a 24-hour plan every day. I have Corinne's planner, and that's been very helpful. Mm-hmm. I was not disappointed, but a little, I guess, I lost 4 pounds in January, which I was hoping to lose 5, but, you know, 4 is great. I've enjoyed the process along the way. I've not felt restricted. I love this plan. I've been on so many diets that just so restrictive and not enjoy the process. So my question is, my son is getting married in May.
Yay.
And part of me wants, yes, May 4th. So I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. But part of me wants to, I guess, rush this or to hurry up this process. And I keep telling myself, just because he's getting married, even though I want to lose a little more weight, my goal is to lose, I think, 20 pounds by May 4th, which I thought was reasonable. Mm-hmm. But there's still part of me that like I said, I only lost 4 pounds in January, and part of me, my fat girl thinking is like, you need to hurry up and do this a little faster. So I guess I'm struggling with that.
Why does it have to be faster?
Because I guess when I get to that wedding, I don't want to be the fat one in the picture.
Mm, that's
and in his pictures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've written that down. I've journaled about that. But then if I lose 20 pounds, even if I lose 20 pounds, that's still know that it's less than what I was when I started, you know, last August. But like I said, I'm trying to talk myself each day to just be confident and embrace the successes that I have each week.
That's exactly what you should do. The other thing you need to do is remember what the day is about. Have you ever seen my before and after pictures of my son's weddings?
Yes, ma'am, I have. I've looked at yours and Missy's. I've looked at both of y'all's.
Well, the that first one, when the first son got married, it was a month before I started, but a month before I met Corinne. Literally 1 month before I met Corinne. Mm-hmm. And when I bought my mother of the groom dress, I had to really talk to myself, you know, about what was the goal of the wedding, you know, because I bought it 2 months before the wedding. There was no way I was going to lose 80 pounds in 2 months. I mean,
right.
I wasn't even trying, right? So I had to think about what was the whole purpose of this dress and the pictures and the wedding. And I finally came to the realization that it wasn't about me. It was about the day, the joy, celebrating my son, finding this girl that he loves and loves him, the beginning of their life together. And I wanted to show up on that day happy, not worried about what I looked like in pictures, not worried about whether I was the biggest one, you know, in the wedding party. I decided I wasn't going to entertain any of that. And, to this day, I'd have to look at the picture to see if I was the biggest, the heaviest one. I don't know that I was, but I don't know that I wasn't. Right. But the point is, you decide how you show up at any weight for any occasion. Okay? So on May 4th, you get to decide if you're going to show up being self-conscious and worried and concerned about how you look, or if you're going to show up being, you know, the beautiful mother of the groom who is so happy that her son has found his person and, you know, ready to spread that joy among all the family and friends that are at that wedding that day. Okay?
Okay.
Once you picture that person on that day, this is the future self, right? The future Janet on that wedding.
Right.
Then you start working on the steps to create that person. And maybe it's losing a pound a week. Maybe it's losing half a pound a week. But all that just doesn't matter as much as the mindset going into May 4th. So who is that person and what does she look like? And what do you need to do to create her between them?
Okay.
Okay?
So I hear from you, it's more of being confident about myself and loving myself. No matter what weight I am at that point, at that day, and enjoying it.
It's beating that fat girl thinking, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to show up that day. The last way you want to show up that day is worried about your weight.
Exactly. Or how I feel about the way I look.
Right. Right. I remember buying that dress thinking, this dress isn't big enough. It shows my butt.
I know. I've already gone dress shopping. I ended up getting a pantsuit. So... I was going with that. Yeah.
Don't, and be careful not to hide behind clothes that are too big,
okay,
or too, you know, whatever. Buy something that makes you feel beautiful, that you look at and you say, oh my gosh, this, I look really good. This dress was made for me, and that's part of the process of loving who you are when you show up, is loving, you know, how you did your hair and how you did your makeup and putting on your dress and putting on your fancy shoes and carrying your cute little purse. All of that wraps up into the feeling of confidence and how you show up that day.
Okay.
So if a pantsuit does it for you, great, but don't hide behind a pantsuit because you're afraid of a dress.
Okay. Oh, well.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, it does.
Yeah. I remember walking down the aisle on the arm of one of Jason's groomsmen thinking, everybody's looking at me, so I need to show how much I love being here, not show how much I'm worried about the fact that they're looking at me and whatever.
Right. And I've gone through all the modules, and I really feel like that those have built up my confidence as well, and just learning to be me, and that people do like me because of me, not by how I look. So I am... I'm kind of like you. I'm a little bit of an introvert, but I can be an extrovert when I need to be. But I do sometimes think that people see me differently than what I see me. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting there. I'm learning to build up my self-confidence. And I write that in my journal every day, to be confident going into the day. And and that I am strong and, you know, I'm worth it. So I try to have that in my book to remind myself that.
Yeah, I would write those every day. I can't wait to share this day with them.
Yeah.
I can't wait to celebrate their, you know, love, their union, you know, whatever it is that you want to celebrate. And when you hear the fat girl thinking come in, just say, you know what? I don't want to think that today. Today's not the day for that thought. You know, just talk back to it. Just like I was telling Heidi, just figure out how you can take the power out of that thought. It's going to come in. They're going to come in. They always do. Mine still do. But you know, sometimes I just choose not to think them. Just like today's not the day. Today's the day to celebrate.
Right. It is.
Yeah.
And I just have another question, Kathy. I have put on my plan, like today we have a local bakery and I had gotten a cookie with some friends yesterday. Didn't eat it yesterday. Put it on my plan today. Mm-hmm. Went and walked my 45 minutes and I decided to eat my cookie when I got back. Even though I had it on my plan, there was part of me that felt a little guilty about it.
Okay. Why?
Is that normal? Should I have not eaten it? Or when I get those feelings, what do I do with that?
So what did you, that you planned it and you
decided? I planned the cookie today, yes. Because I bought it yesterday, but it wasn't on my plan yesterday, so I didn't eat it. But I put it on there today.
All right. So first, let me ask you, why did you decide to eat it?
Because I had been looking forward to eating it since yesterday.
Okay.
Yes.
So now why do you feel guilty for eating it?
I don't know. I guess because, when I weighed yesterday, I'd say the same. And then this morning when I weighed, I ended up losing a pound, which made me, I think it just dropped today instead of yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I went and did my 45-minute walk, which I haven't actually been consistent with that. It was a pretty day here in Georgia and I decided to go walk. And when I got back, I felt like, well, I've walked. I have my body going, running. I'll eat this cookie. Mm-hmm. This will be the time today instead of later in the afternoon.
Okay.
But I ate half of it. Honestly, I ate half of it and thought, okay, I'm full. And I drank my water and then did some housework and went back and finished the rest of it. So, I don't know. Part of me felt like, okay, it's okay, Janet. You can have a treat every now and then because I don't do it all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's a special little place, like I said, that we like to go to. And it was my treat, I guess, for this week.
So, but why do you feel guilty for eating it?
I guess because I felt like I had lost my weight and I thought, well, this might hinder it.
Okay. You think it will?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So you planned it, you ate it as part of your plan. You stopped when you were, you know, at plus two, you went and did some more stuff. I'm guessing you worked a little bit more hunger up. You ate the rest of it. So you ate on plan, but you're choosing to feel guilty for eating on plan.
Yes, because it was a cookie. Mm-hmm. It was something sweet.
Yeah, but it was on plan.
It was. So I guess I just need to get past that. As long as I have it on my plan, I'm okay.
Old diet rule, you know that.
Yeah, it was. I think so. I think that old diet thinking of you can't have something sweet if you think you're going to lose weight.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But you planned it. You actually planned it for 2 days. That's what's so interesting to me, right? You bought it a couple of days ago. You planned it for yesterday, and you didn't decide.
But I didn't eat it. Yeah.
Which is brilliant. You know, if you didn't want it, you shouldn't. I mean, even though it's planned.
And I did. And that's what happened is I bought it and we ate lunch. We went out to eat lunch and went and got a cookie at the bakery, but I didn't want it. So I brought it home.
But you wanted it today and it was on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
okay.
Wrong with that at all.
Okay.
I think it's brilliant that you didn't eat it yesterday because you didn't really want it. Then you wanted it today, so you ate it. What you're dealing with now is an old diet rule saying, you know, Janet, you shouldn't have that cookie because it's sweet and you're on a diet.
Exactly. Well,
that's not true. You're not going to live that way the rest of your life. So why do it now?
Yeah. And that's what I love about this plan is it's so freeing. I felt such a freeing feeling of being able to eat what I want, knowing that I can have it, but I eat till I'm satisfied. And I don't feel restricted. I used to be on a diet that was so restrictive. I lost weight, but it wasn't fun doing the process, even though I got results. And once I got off of it, it all came back.
I was going to say, you got results in the moment, but apparently, you know, it didn't last forever because you...
No, it did not. So it has been very freeing to feel like I'm not tied to food, or what am I going to do? Oh, I got to go here and I have to be careful because I can't go to this place because I can't eat this, or so I can't have a treat.
This actually probably wraps back into your initial question, if you think about it, because you allowed yourself a treat. I used to lose weight faster. I shouldn't be eating treats because I'm on a diet because I have this wedding coming up and I want to lose weight faster. So they probably go together a little bit, don't you think?
I agree with you. It does.
So there's probably a little bit of work for you to do there in accepting that your old diet rules don't matter. And what matters is planning, hunger scale, water and sleep, and getting rid of that fat girl thinking.
Okay.
Okay. Exceptions are okay. One cookie over a week's time is not going to bust your weight loss.
Right.
Right. Especially if you're doing a 45-minute walk a few times a week, especially if you're drinking your water and getting your sleep and watching your hunger scale and you're not overeating, you know, one cookie is not going to bust you.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
What part of Georgia are you from?
Rome, Georgia.
Is that south of Atlanta?
It's actually northwest of Atlanta.
West of Atlanta. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Hearing a lot of ma'ams.
Oh, that's my southern, my mom teaching me that.
Georgia. That's right.
Yes.
Does that help?
It does. I appreciate your help, Kathy. That does. And I think touching on the wedding, I've looked at your, like I said, your pictures of wedding and also Missy's, and it has helped me to realize that I need to get that thinking out of my head and be in the moment of the day.
It is a beautiful day when you watch.
Yes.
I've done it twice now. Watching your son find his person is a beautiful thing.
Yes. And she is a blessing to our family. So we're very excited to have her as addition.
You already have all those great thoughts working.
Just
keep working on those and enjoy the day. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, well. Thank you so much for your help, Kathy.
Watching your boy get all happy is a beautiful thing.
Well, it is. It's going to be busy. He gets married May 4th. He graduates college the next Friday.
Wow.
And he will be a nurse in the Army. He will be an Army nurse.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So we have a lot of things going on in May.
Sounds like you did good, Mama.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Kathy. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, talking about these boys gets me all misty. Cindy Lou, you are up.
Hey, can you see me?
I'm crying over these boys. How are you?
Nothing wrong with that. I'm good. If I stall up, I think I'm in a vortex with my house and Zoom calls. So just let me know if you can't hear me or if I freeze up. So nice to talk to you.
Well, you too. You too.
So I was at October camp.
Okay.
So just Kathy Effing Hartman. Goodness.
You've been listening.
We're going to need to get a t-shirt. I did. I listened to Heidi's.
She's a
Heidi's
nut.
Call. Yeah, that's why we love her.
That's right.
So my question is about goal setting when I'm doing my 24-hour plan. I have my four circles.
Okay.
And what happened, I joined in October of 17.
Uh-huh.
And I lost pretty steadily a pound a week.
Okay.
So, and then up until this past August, I've just basically stopped. Like I'm at the same weight and I'm donkey button. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm stalling because I'm doing everything perfect. You know, I'm still, you know, I'm doing things that I was doing before, but it's just kind of stopped because I've lost, I think about 40 pounds and I have about 30 to 35 to go. So I've had the mindset of, okay, I'm practicing what maintenance is like. So I haven't let my, you know, thoughts go crazy on it. And so it's been, you know, kind of discouraging. And sometimes I've, you know, there for a while I stopped doing my 24-hour plans. I kind of got away from that. And it was right around, you know, camp time or shortly after there. So when I'm writing my goals, I kind of go with like, I weigh every day so that that doesn't, you know, I don't get freaked out by the scale. So when I write, it just seems like my number that I'm writing down for the next week is, it's just, it's never right. And I feel like I'm not planning accurately. So I don't know how to move that number, because let's say on Monday I'm 183 and I think, okay, by Friday I'll just put like 182 and a half or something like that. And then I'm still not there, or I'm just down and up a couple, 3 pounds, and I'm just not gaining momentum. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what you're doing is setting a goal you really don't believe in, because you're not going to do any actions. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, because I was supposed to have reached my goal. I had made it like 161, and I was supposed to reach that by this past December. So come about May or June of last year, I kept seeing that number. It was like the space between that number and where I was getting wider and wider. And I knew I wouldn't make my goal for this past December. Mm-hmm. So I still kept putting it down. But then after, you know, January 1st, I'm trying to be more realistic, because I know I can't lose a pound a week anymore.
Sure you could.
Well, I'm not sure how, but...
Yes, you do.
I get you. Because I was thinking maybe my body's just, you know, at that point where, you know, I mean, do people lose a pound a week for 70 pounds?
Sure.
Because I've always been what I would consider a slow loser. Like, I was a slow loser way back when, too.
Tell me what you think you would have to do to lose a pound a week.
I would have to do all the things I'm supposed to do. I would definitely have to exercise more than I'm exercising right now. I try to get a walk in at work every day, because I work 10-hour days. And so I'm leaving early and getting back late. And so I could probably do a good exercise 3 days a week, but I know this is an excuse, but I'm an outdoor walker and I really enjoy walking outdoors, but it has been really cold. What I've never been a good...
Other than exercise, what else would you have other than exercise?
Well, I would have to not have any overeats, zero. I think I would have to level up my food choices quite a bit.
So you have to follow the hunger scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely have to follow the hunger scale. I'm good with water and sleep. That I'm pretty...
Okay. So you'd have to do water and sleep. What else would you have to do?
Plan.
Yeah. Of course, we've hit the four bases now, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And so, the four basics, you could assess every day and figure mm-hmm. out how the day went and see if there's an opportunity to level anything up. You could do some recovery worksheets mm-hmm. and see if you could get behind, you know, whatever the overeats are coming into. Mm-hmm. I don't think...
Listen, really, I'm about to be in that. I think I'm about to be in that 100 recovery worksheet club pretty soon. I've been a lot better just within this last month, definitely, about doing recovery sheets, my 24-hour plans. The hunger scale is probably my hardest, but I've been doing a lot of TDLs and things about it. But you're right. I mean, I don't believe that I can lose a pound a week.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do, well, that's the thought. That's the thought that's blocking. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't lose a pound a week. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm halfway there. You know, I have 30 pounds to lose. You don't lose a pound a week at 30 pounds. Well, sure you can. But you have to really tighten up your actions, and you have mm-hmm. to be motivated to do that. Okay. Motivation comes from what? Action.
Action.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to take the time to do the planning and the assessing and the leveling up, and you have to take the time to really nail that hunger scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing for me, I think, is the hunger scale.
Well,
I've struggled with it the whole time, for sure.
Well, that's what you need to look into. Why is the hunger scale hard for you?
I know it's not an excuse, but I have a sleeve, so it's you know, it depends on what food I'm eating. It depends, you know, with the water thing, I might, like if I eat rice, I might feel like I'm at a two, but like 15 minutes later, like I don't, usually rice is the worst, but it, I think it expands in my stomach. And then I'm like, holy cow, how am I miserable? You know, type thing.
So then rice might not be a good food for your protocol.
Yeah. And I really don't keep it on my protocol. I think like I'll have sushi every now and then, and that's just pretty much because it's wrapped in it.
So that's that's an opportunity for leveling up, right? Is
right.
Mm-hmm. Taking rice off the protocol or just having it every, you know, so often and knowing ahead of time how rice reacts in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm getting a little more dialed in about, I was really good last winter because I had done the no sugar, no flour at the beginning of the year. And I was really successful about, you know, cutting all that out. And then I found it harder to the sugar wasn't as hard as the flour was, just simply because we eat quesadillas at home a lot. And that was really the biggest thing was tortilla. But then I started letting, you know, I'll let this one in and I'll let that one in.
So why don't you write a protocol that has tortillas on it? Why do you have no sugar, no flour? That's not, you know, it's not necessary to lose weight.
No, but it has been very successful with me. Like I think I don't think it's necessary, but it's certainly with my body, it seems like it helps the most is when I'm on no sugar, no flour. It seems like I'm really successful for that. And I have that mindset of, or I don't have the mindset, but I've caught myself what I do. And I've TDL'd about this too is, well, if I'm going to eat a tortilla, then, you know, what's the harm in this hamburger bun? And that's the only other thing that I would want that I would require bread on because I do like a hamburger on a bun. I've tried it without, I've tried with the lettuce, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
but then it just kind of goes into the, well, if I can have this, then, you know, this is flour too, kind of thing.
So
I guess I just need to make my protocol tighter.
I would make it clearer. I don't know about tighter.
Yeah.
I would make it nice and clear. I'm no sugar, no flour, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
I allow gluten-free pasta once a week. Uh-oh, there you are.
Uh-oh, sorry.
Okay.
Popped up low battery.
Oh, okay. So that's just part of my protocol because I love pasta. I love spaghetti. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have gluten-free pasta once a week.
Your only exception, though? If you're going to plan your weekly exception, is that?
I don't call that an exception. It's on my protocol. An exception is something that's not on your protocol.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm getting confused with that. Because I have the, you know, the toddler goes up and I've written about this too, about how anxious I am about leveling up. I feel like, because now, I mean, it seems pretty easy. And now that it's thawed, I'm like, okay, now I'm really going to have to exercise like a banshee. Now I'm really going to have to, you know.
I mean, exercise doesn't hurt, but it's not something you have to do, right?
Right.
One of the four basics. Right. Go back into the No BS success path and watch the lesson on food protocols and fill out the food protocol worksheet and get really, really clear and detailed. Don't just put down protein, vegetables, you know, and fruit. Mm-hmm. Put down, you know,
tortillas and hamburger buns.
Right.
Period.
Hamburger with bun, chicken breast, turkey legs, you know, whatever it is, put them down so that, you know, you can put that in place in your kitchen and you know what your protocol is. And that's the end of the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just make sure what you know you're going to eat is going to be on that protocol. It's just like creating you're going to use that protocol to create your 24-hour plan. So you're going to make the protocol realistic and you're going to make the plan realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it's something like quesadillas, or if you decide you want to go no sugar, no flour, but you want to put quesadillas on the protocol, then put them on there and give yourself a limit. Quesadillas once a week. When I come home from Life Coach School for the stopover eating masterclass that I went to, when I started no sugar, no flour, I asked my husband, what do you think about this? And he said, sure, I'll do it, but I'm not giving up beer.
Mm-hmm.
So his protocol was all no sugar, no flour, pasta once a week, and beer. Beer was on his protocol. You get to write your protocol. There is no right and wrong protocol, only what you want on it and what feels good to you.
Yeah.
So that's where you need to start, and you need to stop telling yourself, I can't lose a pound a week, because you can. You just don't, you just have not figured out the best way for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the basics, your food protocol, your planning, your assessing, recovery worksheets. Just that stuff that we do
every
day.
The stuff that's not sexy, but we do it.
But we do it. And it's not hard.
Yeah.
Do you find it overwhelming to think about all those things?
No, actually I don't. It's not, I mean, because I've been doing it for the last, year, it's, there's been times when I haven't, but it doesn't like, oh gosh, I'm pretty good about every morning, writing that down. And I've been doing a lot more writing of things, and, I listen to the podcast, which I love you guys in, of course. You guys balance well off of each other. And I just listened to the one
Food Rewards,
the Fridays. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, boom. So, but no, I don't find it overwhelming. The only thing I find overwhelming sometimes is having the time to assess or write my TDLs, but I'm definitely getting better about that. And I'm not always modeling, but at least I'm trying to, or I'll just do my model of how I want the day to go.
Yeah. The TDL is the most important part of that. Do you have the planner?
I don't have, I've printed it off. I use a different setup, but it's basically like it. It just doesn't have the assessment. So I printed the assessment off, but I don't, I don't do it as well.
It won't take you any longer than doing a plan does. It'll only take a couple of minutes. And in my mind, it's as important as anything. We can create plans all day long, and that's the first step to learning how to plan and execute a plan. But it's just the first step. The planning, the execution, and the assessment all go together, and that's the key. That's when you're real with yourself and without judgment on that assessment, that's how you learn what needs to be leveled up and you're okay with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've been doing more of that in my head instead of, and it's not good in there. It's not helpful for me to just keep it in my head. I got to put it down, which I know. Yeah.
Plan in your head is a wish.
It is.
It is. Does that help?
Well, yes, it does. It helps me very much. Thank you so much. And Ken is just wonderful. I love doing yoga with y'all.
Oh.
I think I was right behind you in that one. And I'm like, whoo, this is making me dizzy. But I loved it.
I love
it. That's one of my goals is to be a yogi. So I'm working towards it.
All you have to do is practice once and you're a yogi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Priscilla, you're next. Priscilla, I hit the wrong person. Now you should be coming up. My computer is acting crazy town. I'm not sure where you went. Raise your hand again, Priscilla. Oh, here you come. It's the computer. I'm just going to say it's the computer. How are you?
It can't be good. Me,
right? Because I'm spectacular.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, is there something I'm supposed to be doing to sign on?
Since I'm at my brother's, I have all my mouse and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to use the trackpad, and it's me. It's all me. So what's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say I was so thankful to be able to hear Janet's session with you, because I don't have a son that's getting married. I don't have any children, but my nephew's getting married in March. And so that's one of my things, is that I'm trying to make it to Wonderland by that wedding. and it's coming off incredibly slowly, like 1.3, you know, a week, if that.
Can you lose a pound a week?
Yes, but I've been like circling around the same weight for quite some time. Then I'll lose a pound, and then I'll gain a pound, and then I'll lose a pound, I gain a pound, and I can't figure out what I'm doing differently. But you know, on the weeks that I gain. So anyway, hopefully all of my medicine is settled down, and I'm not traveling for a month, so that will be great. But part of what I'm sorry.
Find your routine at home.
Yeah, it really helps a lot. Yeah, but when I was traveling, I was very on target with the 2-2 and the water. I bought my 50-ounce bottles and drank both of them every day, you know, kind of thing. And then I got home and I didn't lose a thing. So I was trying not to be ruffled about that.
Did you fly?
Pardon?
Did you fly?
No, we actually drove this time. Yeah. And we had this fabulous meal and, at an aquarium, for all of our group. And, I ate like two bites of the dessert. I was so thankful. Anyway, so it was a good experience, but not the results I wanted, but I'm going to be grateful for 1.3 this week. Okay. But I wanted to ask, like, what would you recommend to do to be ready for camp in April? Like, is there anything that you would share with me and others about just preparing for that in particular? Well,
tell me what you think about camp in April. Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you?
No, I'm excited. Okay. I encouraged a friend of mine to join in January. Mm-hmm. And so she joined, and we're both going to camp together. And I'm excited about that for both of us. She mm-hmm. has been in the, what she calls the freebie tribe.
The freebie?
Before. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, that's what it is.
Yeah. Until January. And she's done extremely well, like, you know, just peeling off the, you know, the pounds and all that. So I'm excited for her. So, no, I'm looking forward to camp. Okay. Yeah, I'm just wanting to make sure that I maximize it and just things to be prepared for mentally and all of that. And this is a miracle that I'm even letting you see me like this, because normally I would have to be completely made up and everything to remotely get on anything with video, but I was just like, oh, I'm just going to do it.
Well, I'm glad you did. So camp is amazing. There's a lot of learning that goes on. There's a lot mm-hmm. of coaching that goes on. So coming into camp, I would work on making sure you have a mindset of openness and that you're well rested, because camp can be, I don't want to say emotional, but it can be, you know, it's like going to work and working really hard all day. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there and you're taking everything in. And you're meeting new people, and you're meeting Corinne, and you're watching the coaching. And at the end of the day, you know, you either feel energized or you feel tired. But at the end of the weekend, you've been on this emotional, you know, leveled up emotionally so much that you're going to go home, and I don't know. I always need a little bit of rest. So come in rested. Mm-hmm. Come in, I would say, aware. I love the word aware, because if you know where you are in your journey and you've been doing your thought downloads and you know what you struggle with, you can ask for coaching, you know, there at camp. And you can, I mean, there's something different about being in the room with Corinne when she coaches someone else or even coaches you. There's something different about being there, because I just lost your video. Oh, there you are.
Oh, low battery.
Oh, okay. you see her from the shoulders up on a Zoom call, and she's very animated and you hear everything she says, but there's something different about being in a room with her when she's walking around and walking the room, and her entire body language and actually seeing her facial expressions live and things like that. It's just, it's, it's just a whole different experience that's just, you know, fabulous. It's just amazing. People keep coming back. So, you know, it must be pretty amazing, right? Mm-hmm. So I would just be there. I would be aware of what it is that, you know, you want to take away from camp. I'd be rested. I'd be ready to do work, and I'd be open to learning new things about yourself. Does that help?
Yeah.
Sort of. So do a lot of journaling between now and then. Learn a lot about yourself between now and then. Mm-hmm. Do you do thought downloads?
Not near like I should, because I have to work on perfectionism with them. Because I just, the ones that I've done aren't quite right. So I just need to keep working on them.
What's wrong with your thought downloads?
Well, I talked to Corinne about this before. I'm a little verbose, you know, like it's supposed to be one word and I have a whole sentence.
The thought download is the actual writing for 5 minutes.
Oh, you just mean the journal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I need to do more of that. And I think doing a little bit of that about the upcoming wedding has been helpful too, because again, I'm the aunt, so I'm not the parent, but I did introduce my nephew and his wife and just am really close to him. But I know because of his, for some reason, like there's no reason in my view, his mom has some jealousy about me. And so I know that they probably won't be able to acknowledge me much, you know, at the wedding. And it's about them anyway, but I still have to acknowledge that that kind of is a little hurtful, you know, just things like that.
Why do you think there's some jealousy there?
I don't know. My friends have noticed it throughout the years, and she's just not warm. And she's kind of that way toward everybody. So I try not to take it personally.
I was going to say, you take it personally.
Well, I have. Yeah, you know, yeah. I have.
Okay, but I try not to. She's just not warm.
Yeah.
Right? And what's the feeling?
Pardon?
What's the feeling?
Oh, disappointment, I guess, would be if I had to put it in one word. Yeah.
And your action when you're disappointed and hurt?
Lately, it's just been like, well, that's her, you know, don't let it bother me.
Okay. So the action is don't let it bother me. Do you withdraw from her?
Lately, I've not been, you know, I'll just try to engage her in conversation. And if she doesn't really respond, then I'm like, I've tried, you know.
But that's what you're talking about doing at the wedding, withdrawing a little bit.
I'm sorry?
You said that's what you were talking about doing at the wedding, kind of standing in the background, withdrawing a little bit, not trying to get in the way.
Well, it's kind of a challenge because I know her and her family better than my brother and his family know her and her family. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to ruffle anything, you know, there.
It's not a challenge. And you don't know that you'll ruffle anything. What's wrong with just showing up yourself and being smiley and happy for the couple? And
oh, that's my intent.
Engaging people in conversation that you want to engage in conversation, just like every day.
Yeah, that's my intent. I just kind of dread the other part, you know, because it seems to show up. So,
well, maybe it won't. Dread doesn't solve it.
Yeah.
You showing up like you want to solves it.
Yeah.
It's the way the dread.
Yeah.
Didn't know you're going to get coached this way, did you?
That's okay. I brought it up.
You did.
I brought it up.
Figure out how you want to show up and be that person.
Well, I definitely want to.
Like I told Janet, figure out who you want to be at that wedding and be that person. Don't go into it with dread and fear and guilt and, you know, oh my God, what are they thinking? Be fabulous, Priscilla. Spectacular, Priscilla, when you show up. Heck, you're pretty important if you introduce the bride and the groom. That's pretty hot stuff right there.
Yeah, they're an amazing young couple. Yeah. No, I'm excited about everything, and it's all about them anyway. So I kind of get frustrated with myself for even having those thoughts. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah,
because that feels selfish. So
nothing you say or do or how you show up is going to affect her. She affects herself.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, when is this wedding?
March 2nd.
Okay. So I'll get, we'll get to hear about it at camp.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I appreciate what you shared with Janet, and that was already helpful. But just thanks for walking through that with me today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. There was something else you said that I was going to ask you about, and maybe we covered it. Do you have any other questions for me?
Well, I'm sure I could talk to you all day, so I'm trying not to ask you every question. But I do intermittent fasting for medical reasons.
Okay.
And so I'm really thinking I think that's important for me for many reasons. I'm a cancer survivor, and it's supposed to help with prevention of recurrence. And my mother had Alzheimer's. It's supposed to help prevent neurological disease. Mm-hmm. So all those good things. I'm wondering how it plays into me being able to read my hunger scale really well, you know, because like I only eat between 11 to 7.
Okay.
And so I have bulletproof, bulletproof cocoa in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And I do that, and that helps to stave off hunger, you know, till 11:30, 12. And then I eat. And so like, here's been my routine because it's easy because I don't like to cook. Mm-hmm. I have soup and salad for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I might have soup and salad for dinner. And I allow myself a piece of chocolate because I like chocolate. And I'm not allowing myself gluten because that causes problems for me health-wise. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if maybe that's, and I've noticed when I eat a little bit more, that I actually lose better when I eat more. But I'm really trying to pay attention to my hunger. I don't want to eat too much and be a 3, you know?
You need to track that because that may have just been an anomaly when you eat more.
Okay.
It's
happened twice.
that's only twice. And that's, it could have been, there could have been something else going on at the same time. The intermittent fasting should not affect your hunger scale. What it will do is train your body to be hungry at certain times. Mm-hmm. But reading your hunger scale is not going to be, you know, different from someone else because you're fasting. Okay.
Okay.
The bulletproof cocoa that you have in the morning, does it have any sugar in it?
No, I put stevia in it. I don't use sugar.
And stevia doesn't break the fast?
My doctor was okay with it.
Okay.
He said, that sounds fine, because I gave him my entire recipe. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to know what I was doing because I don't want to negate all the work I've put in.
Okay. Well, no, if your doctor's good with it, then yeah.
Yeah.
One thing you could try, well, make sure, is your +2 in good shape? You think you're hitting +2?
Yes. I mean, like, but I am still curious to discover exactly what it means sometimes, because like I will eat, like now I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. Now, some days I'm satisfied and then 30 minutes later, I'm genuinely hungry again. So I'm trying to figure that out. Like, it's not the growling, but it's like, you didn't eat enough for lunch. So I keep nuts, and that's on my 24-hour plan. If I want them or I need them, then they're there. And some days I eat them and some days I don't. And I have these little portion baggies that I use so I don't eat too much. It helps me to see visually what I'm doing. So I put in 1/4 cup of nuts into those. And that's kind of my allowed snack, that and a piece of chocolate.
And then you're in by dinner time?
Yes.
Okay.
30? And I usually eat around 5. And if I'm hungry again, I make sure I eat before 7 because 7 is my cutoff. But usually I'm fine if I eat my dinner at 5 and I don't eat anything else.
I'm wondering if you should cut the 7 o'clock eat just in case.
Like the 6:30.
Mm-hmm. If you're not hungry for it.
No, I don't if I'm not hungry for it. But if I eat at 5 and then I'm like, you know, 6:30, I'm already hungry again. Not hungry for a meal, but hungry for like an apple or some nuts or something, that I allow that.
Where are you on your hunger scale at 6:30?
Sometimes it, I would say it's like a 1.5. I do mine in halves. 1.5 or a 2.5.
1.5 or minus 2?
Yes.
An hour and a half. All right. So what are you eating that's only lasting you an hour and a half?
Soup and salad.
Tell me what kind of soup and what's on the salad.
Okay. It's like this week, it's pasta fagioli.
Okay.
So, you know, kidney beans and all that, and it's tomato based.
Mm-hmm.
And then the salad is power greens. I mix it up. I either do power greens or spring mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put pepperonisi on it, those flavorful yellow peppers for some flavor. And then Italian dressing for a little bit of fat. I used to just do olive oil. Now I'm doing Italian dressing. And a sprinkle of Parmesan. Cheese, and that's it.
Okay, you need more fat.
Okay.
I think if you put more fat in your meal, you won't need the 6:30. And I think you should really watch and make sure it's physical hunger after lunch. That 30-minute time frame, you shouldn't be hungry. Make sure it's physical hunger and not just, you know, a reaction to stress or something else going on. 30 minutes isn't... Anything should last you 30 minutes. You know, 30 minutes just isn't really enough time. Your body's not going to blow through it that fast. It takes like 10 for what hits your, you know, what you swallow to actually hit your stomach. You know, it takes that much time. So 30 minutes isn't really enough for physical. But I would definitely add, do you like avocado?
Yes.
Slice half an avocado on your salads.
Okay.
Okay. And that'll go, avocado goes with everything, anything.
Yeah.
And see if that doesn't help alleviate the need for the nuts too.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you can still carry them, but a quarter cup of nuts is probably going to keep you from being hungry for a couple of hours. You know, that's.
Yes. When I have that in the afternoon. I do well, you know, not to be hungry for several hours.
6:30 to eat dinner maybe. And then.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Take out the afternoon snack. Try that and see if that doesn't help. The I'm curious, the weeks that you ate more and lost weight, I'm wondering if it's the added fats, because your body really loves fat. Okay. The good fats, it loves.
Yeah.
It really helps. It helps so many things in your body. It can help you actually lose weight if you eat good fats at each meal. So I would definitely work on that as well. The bulletproof cocoa, is that you're using the MCT oil, I guess?
Yes. I use 100% cacao, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And then the bulletproof brain octane.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put the grass fed butter, sometimes I don't. And then a dash of heavy whipping cream and the stevia. That's it.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
It is.
I would put that in my NutriBullet and get it all frothy on top. And feel like
that's
special.
Yeah, it's a nice way to start the day, especially for a chocolate lover.
Definitely.
So then I'm not, you know, I really don't crave sweets like I used to either. So that's a blessing. Yeah.
All right. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you for the time and information. I appreciate it. I look forward to meeting you.
Well, I look forward to meeting you too. I'm anxious to hear about this wedding.
Thank you.
Your dress. You have to wear something beautiful.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, I have the dress already. So that's another reason to stay on task.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, y'all. Nobody has their hand raised. So I'm going to go over here to the Q&A. Let's see, where can I find the ebook for the February training? Regina, I am thinking it is on the website, but I have not looked it up just yet. If somebody wants to post a link, you can do that. But otherwise, I would go to, let me just look. Go to PMP Tribe and I bet you it's under bonus courses. It is under bonus courses. go to the third row. It's called Mastering. The program is called Mastering Accountability. And on that page, you'll see the videos that Corinne has just recorded and a link to download the workbook. Now, what happened to Zoom? All right. And Michelle has her hand raised. Yay. Hopefully that answered you, Regina. If you can't find it, holler back, okay? Michelle, you're up.
Can you hear me? Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Missing camp and missing everybody a lot.
Yeah. Did you hear me describing camp to Priscilla?
I did, yes.
Was there anything else you
could do? I would just, I liked how you told her to be open and just really be prepared to like just really connect with people. I mean, it was really just a life-changing experience for me. I mean, it's the best. Can't wait to come back in October.
Yay. Good deal.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind today?
I came out of camp ready to find a new job. It's like one of my big goals this year. Mm-hmm. I am like, this is my year to kind of really push myself outside of my box and do some major growth. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that and I just feel like my job is the one place that I am being held back from really kind of reaching the rest of my goals. So, I kind of gave myself the deadline of camp to, start taking action. My 30-day action list that we made at camp mm-hmm. was all around actions for the job, which was so helpful. Okay. I did find out that I was the perfectionist goal setter or whatever that was that Corinne called us. But so I redid my action list on the plane home actually to be really, specific actions versus lofty, you know,
measurable
things. Yes, exactly. So I'm working through those. I had my first phone interview yesterday. So I, you know, took the plunge and I have applied for some jobs, which was, you know, kind of the, I don't know, I needed to break the ice on that one. And where I'm struggling, the first interview that I got was the job that I applied for that was probably my backup plan. It's in the same industry. I'm currently a manager for a home health agency and I really want to step away from management. It's sucking the life out of me. And I know that's a thought.
Wow. That's a good one.
Believe me, I'm doing a lot of TDLing on it, but I really feel like it's, the time and energy that I'm having to put towards my job is really taking away from me putting the time and energy in the things that are really important to me. So the first interview that I had was in the same, in home health, which I know obviously I would be great at, but I'm just really looking to grow. I want to learn something new. I want to go back to school. Like I have all these things, so I don't want to, I already know home health. I know it like the back of my hand. And I guess I'm struggling with how to talk about that when I'm interviewed. About why I want to come out of home health I want to just be able to present it in a really positive way. And I guess I'm struggling with how to do that.
So why do you want to come out of home health?
I think I'm burned out on it, first of all. So I think that's part of it, but you know, nursing is, there's so many things that you can do. And I, you know, the thing that PNP has really taught me is I miss learning. And I feel like I've learned, I just feel like I've gotten where I kind of maxed out where I am now. And I just really would love to learn, you know, not only would it help me later in my career, because it would broaden my areas of expertise. Like I already feel like I'm an expert in home health. So I'm ready to kind of blow it up and become a novice at something again and learn.
Okay. So what's wrong with saying that?
I don't know. I guess maybe I just need to do more of, I guess, writing about it. I just want to make sure that I'm presenting the change in a really positive way. And I actually, the phone interview was actually for two different positions. The recruiter was the same. And she asked me at the end, you know, of these two positions, which if you, you know, were to choose which one, and I told her it would be the other one. And I just want to make sure, because when I interview people, the last thing I want to hear is someone being negative about where they currently are. Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot of negative feelings that I'm kind of working through, but I'm really going to this, approaching this job search in a very positive way. I mean, I'm excited for the first time in a really long time to just do something different.
So you're not, so what, the way you want to present this then is not that you, what you want to leave behind, it's where you want to go, right?
Yes.
I'm excited about learning something new. I'm a really great nurse and I'd like to challenge myself in a new area. Right?
Oh, I like that. Yes. Right. Yeah.
I'm really burned out doing home health. I know everything about it. I'm just done there. That's
right.
It's kind
yeah,
of
I don't, yeah.
you choose that you want to focus on. And it sounds like in your TDLs and in your action plans and everything, you're focusing on going forward. But just apply that same kind of mindset to your interviews and to your
okay.
right? It's what you're moving toward, not what you're leaving.
Right.
And that can actually apply to anything. It can apply to weight loss. It can apply to learning how to run. It can apply to, you know, anything in the world that you want to challenge yourself to do. If your focus stays on where you are and what you don't like about it and doesn't focus on the future, then you've kind of taken the whole goal setting mindset out of the picture, right?
Right.
So she was telling some of these other girls about these weddings. Decide who you want to be and what it's going to take to get there and put your focus on that rather than, oh my God, what am I going to wear and how am I going to answer this question? See?
Yeah. 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 And I think I had started kind of looking for a job in the fall mm-hmm. and I was doing it from a really like more of a desperation, like just hating my job so much every day. And I stopped because I knew that wasn't going to get me where I wanted to be. And so it was really like my goal for camp was to come out with, you know, a new outlook on it. And I do, I really have that. I mean, I'm really more forward thinking and positive thinking about it. And I think that for me to achieve, like I have a lot of big goals and for me to achieve all those things, I need to be in a new job because unfortunately, my other one is, you know, preventing me from having the time to focus on some things that are really important to me and my family. So,
how does it prevent you from focusing on yourself? How's this is interesting because you think changing a job is going to change a lot of things.
I do. Well, mostly it's the time, the amount of hours that I haven't had a director above me for a whole year. So I'm wearing a lot of hats at my work. So I'm putting in so many hours, way more than I should be. Truly. I'm on call 27 days a week, 24 hours a day for my agency. So mostly it's just the time. I'm training for a half marathon and I want to make sure that I have time to get my runs in. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to school and I am kind of a perfectionist. So if I'm going to go back to school and spend the money and I want to do it well, and I know I don't have the time to focus on that right now.
How is changing jobs going to create time for you?
Because instead of being the leader, I can just be an amazing team member and I won't have all the, you know, I'll be working more a 40-hour work week instead of a 60-hour work week. So really it's that and just, I want to be out of management. I don't want to be responsible for every person, every decision. I want to be an amazing team member. I want to be a contributor instead of a leader. Mm-hmm. And
that's probably the biggest reason, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the byproduct of that, you're hoping, is more time back to school, learning new things and whatnot. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
I just want to caution you, just from my experience, changing jobs, like I did, I have not created any time. There's still 24 hours a day. I just, don't think you're going to get this big bundle of time all of a sudden because you've changed a job. You have to be intentional with how you use your time. Okay. So yes. I don't think I understood that until it actually happened, because I've gone from working 60 hours a week to working 40 hours a week. But I don't necessarily know that I have more time, because I have to be more intentional with what I do with my time. So don't automatically assume changing the circumstance line, which is the job, is going to result in more time. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of parts of that model in between there. Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure you're considering all that as you, as you do this, because, changing that C line doesn't change, doesn't necessarily change the thought. You still have, oh my gosh, I need some more time in the thought line. Okay.
Yeah. No, and I understand that. I think that I've been doing a lot of work on being more intentional about how I spend my time, and I'm just finding that the things that I really want to be doing end up being put on the back burner because of obligations that I didn't necessarily sign up for. Is the reality.
And that's the rub, is that you're in a position that you really didn't, or you don't want to be in anymore.
Right.
And the byproduct of that is, you're not as in control of your time as you want to be.
Right. Yeah. And just the amount of work I've done into just becoming really a better version of me. And I have a hard time. Like, I feel like my work self and the rest of my life are kind of in conflict with each other, because I don't feel like I'm I feel like work isn't helping me be the best version of me. It's like I do all this work outside of it. And believe me, all that work has helped a lot with the work situation, but I still feel like it's just holding me back, and I don't want to be held. Like, this is my year. I'm done being held back. Like, I'm ready to just move forward. And I don't know. I've blown my own mind the last couple of years. Like, I'm just ready to keep doing it, and I don't know. I just feel like a new chapter it's time.
It's just time. I understand. Yeah. It's just time.
Yeah. Yeah. You of all people, I know this was perfect.
That's right.
I'm on here with you.
That's right. The other thing is, just make sure you love who you are and where you are before you try and change it. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, changing the C line of your model doesn't necessarily take away the thoughts.
Okay. No, and I think that's why I need to change, because I do, like, I am there.
Right.
And it's, I don't feel like my current job is letting me be the person that I am, and that I've worked really hard to be. And I do. I was just talking to my Hot Mess Express girls and my Try for Life girls this morning about that. It took me to get to my 40s, but I am happier than I've ever been in my life just me.
Well,
and it feels amazing.
Until now, because that's when it's supposed to take you. Maybe now is just the time, right?
Right.
That's just, I was 47 when I started my journey, and that's okay, because that's when I was ready for it, because that's when
it happened. Yeah. Right? And it all, waiting brought all these, because if I would have done it earlier, I wouldn't have found PNP.
Right.
PNP, I just probably, everything does happen the way it's supposed to and when it's supposed to. And I'm just happy to be here in this spot now. Definitely. So, yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with the job search.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah. Did that help?
It did. Yes. Thank you very much. All right. Good to see your face.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, y'all. Nobody has their hand raised, so I'm hitting the Q&A again. Oh, it's the same question. So I guess I should just click answer and done. So does somebody want to be coached? If you do, raise your hand. Stephanie says, Kathy, you said you're in Pennsylvania. Whereabouts, State College? I'm not in Pennsylvania. I'm in Ooltewa. I'm not even sure how to say it. It's spelled O-O-L-E-T-A-W. And I think the locals say Ootewa, Tennessee, which is outside of Chattanooga. So I am still in, I'm still in the great state of Tennessee, visiting my brother who has a new house and has just moved here close to his wife's family. So my husband and I have been here since last night, and we've been hanging out with the brother. I do a lot of thought work around my own family because, and I'm speaking lowly on purpose, because there's a lot of weight loss that needs to happen among my family members. So I don't want to speak too loudly about that, but there's a lot of thought work that goes into my world as well as y'all's world, and I do a lot of time journaling. In fact, while y'all are thinking about who's going to be coached next, I'll tell you about my own journal entry this morning. It was really interesting. And this is the beauty of a thought download if you choose to do one. I decided I was going to do a gratitude journal entry this morning. So I started it with, here's a list of everything that I want to say I'm thankful for, everything I'm grateful for today. And I don't even remember what was on the list, but I'm sure it started with church and God and family and, you know, my boys and their health and, you know, the success that they've seen and their wives and da 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 and my job. And then it moved into, by the time I got through with my whole thought download and everything I was grateful for and the way it just, my brain went, it went to goal setting. And I know you all have listened to that podcast on goal setting and about how Corinne has seriously had to teach me how to create goals. And I started thinking about, what do I really want out of life? What does Kathy's future self look like? And what kind of goals do I need to set? And maybe what I'm learning about myself is a lot like what Jennifer was talking about, in that I spend a lot of time reacting to what other people need, and I don't create enough of what Kathy needs. And I just thought it was really interesting that I didn't really know what goals I had. You know, I might have a monetary goal for what I want to make, you know, money-wise this year. Okay. But that was it. And I thought that was really interesting. So my own work over the next few weeks is to figure out who my future self is and what she looks like and what I want her to experience and do. I know what my 70-year-old future self looks like. She looks like my aunt, Mary Jane, who travels the world because she did a brilliant job saving her money and planning for her retirement, as did her husband, my Uncle Bill. And they're in Malta right now on a 3-week adventure in the Mediterranean. And I thought, you know, that's who I want to be when I'm 70, when I'm truly retired and done with work and ready to do everything I want to do. I want to be Aunt Mary Jane. But until then, you know, I still have 17 years to plan for, right? So until then, who do I want to create? What do I want to be? So anyway, that was kind of what I learned about on my TDL this morning. All right. So we have 20 more minutes here on office hours, and I can sit and rattle around, or you guys, somebody can raise their hand and get coached. And I know there are enough of you on this call that somebody out there really wants to talk to me, right? Oh, look, somebody raised their hand. I'm so excited. Who do we have here? We have, oh, I don't know how to say your name. It's an email address, but I'm going to go ahead and promote you, and then we'll ask you who you are. Well, I'm trying to unmute you. Here we go.
I just unmuted me.
There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's see if I can.
What's your name?
My name is Anne.
Anne. It's nice to meet you, Anne.
Thank you.
What are we coming to?
Well, it's funny. I just happened to walk in. I was away all morning, and I thought, oh, I missed another call. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'll just sign in and see. And, oops, my cupboard door is open. I can't have that.
That's so funny.
I'm sure that was bothering more than many other people.
I didn't even notice it. So your timing was perfect because
yes.
I was begging for someone to raise their hand. So I didn't have to rattle on for 20 more minutes.
Well, so what I wanted to be coached on is I feel like I've been struggling with the same issues, weight loss, over drinking and over eating for a long time. And I've done, I'm a follower of Brooke Castillo's, and then also I just recently joined Corinne's tribe in January. So I'm a newbie to Corinne, but I don't feel like a newbie at all to all the thought work and things.
Good.
So I think the struggle, and I've heard some other people coaching on that, is that I know everything to do, but just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Or I think I have a great plan, and then I just ignore the plan and eat something, drink something anyway.
So why do you ignore the plan?
Well, so today I made myself sit down to fill out the... what's this when you blow it sheet, what's that called?
The recovery worksheet.
I know it has a better name.
Recovery worksheet.
Right. So I'm trying to fill that out and I can't really, so last night I had, on my protocol, I don't eat rice. I don't eat beans and, I'm not drinking wine, but yesterday I had all of those three things. And I can't sometimes. So one thought that I came up with is that I'm being too restrictive.
Now, why did you eat the rice and beans yesterday?
I had prepared them because in addition to the meal that I was planning for my family, we had a vegan guest mm-hmm. and I had that in my refrigerator. It was like kind of a prepared meal. So I prepared it's a bean dish and the rice. And mm-hmm. so I prepared that so that he would have something to eat. And then I just helped myself to it because
but
it
why? Was available. Because it was available. What thought did you have when you saw the rice and beans that led to the feeling that led to the overeat?
I think that I enjoy those. I think I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with rice and beans.
Okay. That's it. There's nothing wrong with rice and beans. That's right. Your justification thought, right?
Correct.
And that led to what feeling?
Entitlement.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, entitlements come up on a lot of different...
How are you entitled to rice and beans?
I know, really.
No, answer.
But... Nobody, I mean, it's so funny because it's like so stupid.
No, it's not stupid. A feeling isn't stupid. That's a thought. <My feeling. laughs>
Sometimes I think, well, why not? Okay. I mean, even though I have it on my protocol.
Why? Well, so why isn't it on your protocol?
Well, because I'm trying to eat more, less carbs, like just eat the vegetable carbs and lower grains. So I'll eat quinoa, but I'm trying to eliminate potatoes and rice.
Why are you being that restrictive?
Say again?
Why are you being that restrictive?
Well, because I feel like I've been at this for a while and the scale doesn't move. So I was trying to.
All right. So let me
further restrict it.
If you eat rice and beans to a two, is that and because you've eaten rice and beans to year two, you're not overeating carby vegetables. Is that okay?
I think that anytime I eat something that's not on my protocol, then it's not okay. So I guess if you're asking if I switched my protocol and allowed those, I still think that in general, those more carby foods are going to interfere with weight loss.
Why?
Because I think that they...
Don't they come from the ground?
Yeah, they do. Well, I'm not sure rice really comes from the ground. It's processed.
Yeah, a little bit. It is processed a little bit. My point is this. A lot of times, overeats are a result of restrictive protocols.
Mm.
Okay? That's where we come back to the realistic plan and the realistic protocol. If you're, you know, if I set rice and beans down in front of you, and 8 times out of 10, you're going to eat them whether you're on, they're on your protocol or not. They should just be on your protocol so you're not eating behind your back. Same thing with the plan, right? If rice and beans are going to be on the table, it may as well be on your plan if you're going to eat them anyway. You know, yes, that you're going to eat them.
So, I guess, yeah.
I think what you should do rather than trim down your protocol, I think you should focus on your hunger scale.
And I've been trying to do that since joining in January. It's been very interesting. I can go a long time without getting hungry. I have already been intermittent fasting where I'll have my coffee with cream in the morning, and then I typically don't eat my first meal until like 1 or 2. And then I have a big salad on my, I work only 2 days a week. And on those days, I just have some macadamia nuts or some kind of nuts while I'm at work. And then I have a full dinner when I get home.
Okay.
Like so around 7. Overeating
coming in.
Say again?
Where's the overeating coming in?
Sometimes in the evenings, but I would, and I've been keeping my food journal pretty religiously now for a while, certainly since January, but even before that, more in the evenings, I think.
Like after your full dinner or
right.
After dinner?
More after dinner.
Okay.
I think that's what's been frustrating too, is like, I really don't think that I overeat a ton that would slow this weight loss to that degree. Like I've been pretty much following this, you know, lower carb, doing the intermittent fasting for quite a while. And I did lose 4 pounds in January, so I was happy about that.
So tell me about the overeating after dinner. Tell me about what goes on after dinner.
So I keep very busy, I think, all day. And it's almost always like sitting on the couch watching TV. Like at around 9 o'clock, I feel like I finally have that time to be like the day's over. And so I like to watch a little bit of TV on the couch. And I started to make rules like, you're not allowed to eat on the couch ever to try. But that's when I'll start getting these, you know, desires to have overeats that have nothing to do with hunger. I'm never hungry with those. Or a glass of wine. That's more my vice, I think, to signify the end of the day or me time.
So what is your eating limit?
1 o'clock till 8 o'clock.
Okay, so what if it's 1 o'clock till 7 o'clock? Why do you have it until 8 o'clock?
Mostly my husband doesn't even get home until 7 or 7:30, so our dinner is at 7:30. So usually dinner's my end of the...
So when you're eating and drinking at night, you're eating and drinking during your fasting period.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So why do you have a fasting period that starts at 8 o'clock because you want to fast, right?
But correct.
You're taking yourself out of fasting because you want something to eat. So why do you do that?
Well, that's what I started this conversation with. I do know everything to do, but I'm not doing it.
But why? Are you like Heidi? Are you happy where you are? I don't think so, because you've taken beans and rice out of your protocol, and you know you're trimming down you're trimming your protocol down into some diet mentality. Yet at 9 o'clock at night, you're eating and drinking during your fasting period.
Right. And like potato chips, I have them in the house. I have three teenagers and I'm like, I'm putting them in a bowl. And one thought is, it's not flour. But it's certainly not going to get to
me. I'm supposed to be fasting right now and this isn't on the plan.
Right. And it's not, you know, a choice that's going to get me to the goal of 40 pounds lost by August, which is what my goal is. Right. So I try and I have little battles with myself. Why are you doing this? This is not on the plan. This isn't going to help you. And I don't have the answer. And yet then I eat them.
All right. So try this. Okay. At least you are not unconsciously going in there and grabbing something and figuring out that you ate afterwards. You're having the conversation. Okay. That's, that's a good thing. All right. That's the first step, recognizing the conversation. The next step is have the conversation and then sit and wait for 10 minutes before you eat them.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Because in that amount of time, you're either going to talk yourself into eating them or talk yourself out of eating them. You know, one, whichever the devil or the angel, whichever one is going to win, you're going to eat or you're going to not eat. But you're going to extend the period of the conversation.
Take the pause. Okay.
Or during that 10 minutes, you're going to put them away and say, this is baloney. I'm not eating these tonight. Okay. Once you manifest the 10 minutes and you've got that, make it 15, then make it 20. And eventually, you know, you're either going to decide I'm going to eat them anyway, even after the 20 minutes and I need another approach, or you're going to say, this is crazy. I'm pouring myself a bowl of potato chips every night and letting them sit for 30 minutes and decide not to eat them anyway. I'm just going to stop pouring them a bowl of potato chips. Okay. But put in that pause so you can really pay attention to the conversation. And I would journal it. And then I'd go back. If you followed Brooke and Corinne for this long, go back and pull out all the facts out of that conversation. You know? And I bet you don't find any. I bet it's all thoughts about why you should have them and why they're there and it's okay. And it's, you know, there's not going to be a single fact. You're going to see them all as thoughts. And you're going to decide those are, you know, if I'm going to make my goals, I can't be acting on these thoughts. I can have them. You're going to have them, but that doesn't mean you have to hit the action line with them. You can.
The other thing that I'm confused with myself is, for instance, at the beginning of January, I decided I'm just going to give up wine now also for a while, because I feel like I'm over drinking more than I want. And I just wanted to. And so I decided to do that. And it was so easy. I was shocked. I mean, I feel like I've been wrestling with that for a while. And I just kind of made up my mind. And I was shocked at how little like urges I had, that it really wasn't even coming up. Like I'd sit on the couch. I did start another ritual where I'd get my wine glass with ice and put different things in it. But I was so happy that didn't happen. And then I had some friends in town, and when they were here, I decided that I would have some, and I had very little. But then it's so funny how fast you want to go back to the way that you were before.
So that's the idea I'm thinking, right? I can either have it or I can't. I can't just have a little bit.
Yeah.
It's all or nothing. So what, when you said I'm not going to drink wine for January, what was your thought? I can do without this for a month?
Yeah, let's.
Why don't you do that with a 9 o'clock snack?
Well, sometimes the 9 o'clock snack is the wine.
Yeah, well.
But yes.
For a month. Why can't you say, you know what? I don't do this anymore. If it worked for the wine, maybe whatever thought that was, excavate that thought. Figure out what that thought was that allowed you to set aside the wine for a month or however long you did. and apply that same thought to the 9 o'clock snack. Whatever it is, potato chips, wine, ice cream, ding dongs, whatever it is.
I always am looking for a more profound thought that, like, it feels like I've been wanting to lose this weight for so long. It should be relative. Like she always says, losing weight is easy, and it does seem very easy. And yet, you know, what, a year and a half later, I'm still exactly the same as I was before. I know a lot more, but I'm like, the actions are not changing.
It doesn't have to be profound. It could just be, I'm not going to think that today. I'm not having potato chips today. It could be just as simple as that. It's whatever speaks to you in your mind. Whatever thought creates, all the way through that model, creates the result that you want.
And then I have this husband who just kind of decides, I think I'm going to run a half marathon and lose 20 pounds. And then 4 months later, he's done both of those things. And I'm like, really? That's not fair.
Well, that's a whole nother kettle of fish. That's compare. And maybe he just put his mind to it and he stuck to his plan.
Well, it's totally what he did. I mean, I envy that and want it for myself.
Well, you can do that. You can create that. You're just churning around a lot of baloney reasons why you can't. Like rice and beans. You can run a half marathon. You can lose 20 pounds and run a half marathon eating rice and beans. I promise. I did it. I lost 80 eating rice and beans and other stuff. I love rice. I had rice last night.
I know that was another thought I wrote on my recovery worksheet today. Well, Corinne eats rice and beans and Katrina Ubel eats rice and beans.
Yeah. Okay. So for you, you have to watch being too restrictive.
Okay.
Okay. Because just watch yourself. Restriction can lead to overeating. Okay. It leads to that effort moment and that, you know, this really isn't that bad. I'm just going to eat it anyway. You need to pay attention to your hunger scale, which you say you do, but make sure.
Yeah. I think that's certainly a way I can improve.
You're not paying attention to it at 9 o'clock at night.
No, I'm ignoring it.
Right. You're ignoring it then. And you need to set a fasting window that you can commit to and a plan that you can commit to. So realistic protocol, realistic plan, and be true to your fasting window.
All right. Sounds good. I'll do that.
Those are all action line things. The thought line thing, the thought I want you to look for is whatever thought led you to giving up wine for a month without any trouble at all. Find that and apply that to your eating.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap. I don't see any other hands, and it is 3 o'clock. I hope you all have a fabulous weekend, and I think I am back on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. for more office hours, 6 p.m. Central. Y'all take care. Bye.